Well, thank you all for coming. Do appreciate that. As Kathy mentioned, this is something that's been a passion of mine since I was actually struck on the 101 on my bike commute home 5 years ago. And having survived that, I started that show called Happy Trails, and we've talked with most of these folks on that, as a matter of fact. But right now, I would like Bill Keir to lead this off, if you could.
Okay.
Give us some history.
Good. I've kind of been sitting here trying to figure out where to start, and I don't know how much information that you all have about the railroad and its history here. So let me take a couple of minutes and give you some history. And first, let me explain that I am one of two Humboldt County members of the Board of Directors of the North Coast Railroad Authority, which is a California state legislature created public agency that includes representation from Marin County, Sonoma County, Mendocino County, and Humboldt County. And that's 2 times 4 is 8. And then in case there's a hung vote, why, we've got one member that represents the cities and the four counties at large. And I've been on the board for about a year and a half is all. And this evening's program kind of kicked me in the backsides and made me do what I've been meaning to do, and that is a decent dig into the whole history of the railroad here on the North Coast. And so I've drafted and I've bounced off Dan, and Dan Hauser has been good enough to show me where I didn't get it right. And so I'm going to do it real fast. But the railroad connection between the San Francisco Bay Area and the Humboldt Bay Area was completed in the fall of 1914. And it was a joint venture by the Southern Pacific Railroad Company and the Santa Fe. And I suspect that what really drove their determination to get up here was lumber, was timber, and one of the drivers was the earthquake and fire that leveled San Francisco in April of 1906. So they pushed the railroad up. There were railroads here, railroads there, railroads out to Blue Lake and Corbell, as many of you know. But it was getting through the Eel River Canyon that was the last piece of the linkage, and that was what was completed in the in fall of 1914. In 1929, SP, Southern Pacific, bought out Santa Fe, and they ran the railroad, what we'll generically call the North Coast Railroad or Northwestern Pacific Railroad, for the next 57 years, I think. And they had some great times. Right after World War II, with the enormous housing boom in this country, and the enormous demand for lumber, Southern Pacific was running one of the most profitable railroads in the nation, moving materials, building materials from here down to the North Bay, where it cuts over into the Vallejo area and connects with the national line. And like with every boom, there's a bust. And I think between 1960 and 1970, Southern Pacific's freight rail revenues dropped by something like 43%. By the early 80s, Southern Pacific was looking for a way to get out. And they began in 1983 to tell the community up here that they were going to shut down operations north of Willits. And so folks here in the community did what folks do when their livelihoods and the economy are being threatened. They campaigned, they fought back. A federal judge ordered Southern Pacific to resume operations in the spring of 1984. Their response to that was to turn around and find a buyer. Brian Whipple bought the Willits North assets and named it the Eureka Southern Railroad and tried to make a go of it. In the fall of 1986, Mr. Whipple filed for bankruptcy. In 1989, the California legislature, Dan was there, and the Senate Majority Leader of the State Senate was also a North Coaster, Barry Keene, who nominally hailed from Elk. He had a house there, rented a house.
Inside joke.
I don't know. Barry was a friend of ours. Barry and Dan, I assume you guys were the lead authors?
We were the joint authors, yes.
Joint authors on the legislation to create the North Coast Railroad Authority for the purpose, among other things, of buying out of bankruptcy rail assets and restoring rail freight service from the North Coast to the South. And as I went through the history from that point on, I have to be frank, the term ill-starred kept occurring to me. It was tough. It was tough. It's a tough line to maintain. That's one of the reasons that SP wanted out. They were spending, they testified, 3.5 times their system-wide average maintaining, keeping the track open. Dan certainly had his share of experience with the track going down and getting it back up. Where am I going with this? Well, it brings us to an El Nino event in 1998 that hits the trackage down on the south end. Not so much in the canyon, but down the south end, hard, and shuts operations down, and without operating, without revenue, the crews have to be laid off, and when you stop clearing culverts up in this country, you're asking for trouble. Culvert is going to clog and overtop and wash out, and dozens of these washouts occurred in the Eel River Canyon. The Federal Railroad Administration in 1998, I think it was, slapped. Was it 90? No,
2000.
I'm 2000. Yeah, finally slapped the whole line from north to south end with a cease order because of problems with the trackage. And so even though the NCRA has in the past half dozen years been successful in raising money from state and public loans and grants to restore the tracks from Windsor in Sonoma County as far south and east as necessary to connect with the national interconnect, the tracks up here have stood idle for almost 16 years. And so that prompted some public-spirited folks, and Judy's going to fill you in on the details of that, to begin just about a year ago, to talk up the notion of developing, just push. I mean, there had been a lot of talk about trail development in the Humboldt Bay corridor over the years. There's been studies, but Judy will explain. It seemed like the right time to make a push. And so they did push, and they got around and talked to folks, and the result was a meeting of the Board of Supervisors, an agenda item, Now I'm stealing your thunder, I'm sorry, but I'll do it real quick. And on the 26th of June of last year, the supervisors spent over 2 hours deliberating the ask from these folks, which was to rail bank the line. And rail banking is a term that was introduced into our legal lexicon by Congress 30 years ago when they saw railroads losing their business, going down. It was like, God, let's hang on to these corridors, because if they get hacked up, we'll never be able to do railroad again. So the idea was take a railroad corridor, find a local sponsor that wants to use it for something else, but with the understanding that comes a day when rail traffic is again viable, take it back and put it back in rail. Great idea, but folks who love rails say, hey man, you pave over those suckers and start riding your bicycles on it, and we'll never ever restore rail service. And so the term rail banking in and around Humboldt Bay country has become politicized. It's a hot button.
We call it the R word.
The R word. Yeah. So the supervisors spent 2.5 hours in late June of last year on the advocate's ask. Then they sent a letter to the NCRA board on the 27th of June that said, investigate rail banking. The NCRA board met in Eureka, and we had a six-hour discussion, no potty breaks or lunch break. It was brutal. And it was all about the politics of rail banking. And at the end of that deliberation, one of our members, Mendocino County Supervisor John McCowan, had the grace to say, let's do a committee. Let's take a look at the following things. What shape is the rail prism now after all these years of disuse? What are the options for developing trail in the rail corridor along the bay? And finally, what are the prospects of rail, freight rail service returning? And we adopted that motion. The next month when we met in Navajo, we fleshed out the assignment to this new Humboldt Bay Rail Corridor Committee, an ad hoc committee, I should explain. An ad hoc committee is given an assignment, supposed to knock it out and then go up and smoke, not hang around. So it was an ad hoc committee because we took the assignment. Three members of our board were appointed to the ad hoc committee. The chair at the time was Cliff Clendenin, who was at that time the second district supervisor in Humboldt County. John McCowan, the maker of the motion at our meeting the month before, and me. And so having formed a committee, made assignments to the committee, including the mission of the committee, the trick now became, okay, how do we proceed? The NCRA is stone broke. And it's been that way for a long time. It was pretty much that way when Dan was running it. And so, by the grace of God, the city of Eureka agreed to host the meetings and do the public noticing. Humboldt County Public Works got the supervisors to agree to pony up modest sums of money for two specialists, one to look at the rail prism and report on that. And that was done by NCRA's own contract engineer, Dave Anderson. And to have a trail planner, engineer type, and that was Merritt Perry, who many of you know. Take a look at the options in the corridor for making a trail connection from Eureka all the way around the bay to Samoa. We began our public meetings in late September, finished up in late October. I took it upon myself to draft our report because we don't have staff to do that sort of thing, really. And we bounced it off the public, had a meeting in Eureka in early November, got the public's comments, rolled them up into a final report in time at the end of November, in time to huddle over the report when the NCRA board met again in Eureka in early December, and there was pretty darn good buy-in to the report. And I'm going to take a break.
Thank you, Bill. Very extensive kind of history of how that all went. And, Judy's got a lot to say as well. You were there, and you were one of the folks who really...
Well, Bill gave half my talk, so mine's going to be shorter.
But one of the great things about, Judy and this organization stepping in is that there was, before that, there was a lot of tension between the trail community and the rail community. It was, there was bad blood on both sides and really no movement. And, when you guys took the next step to actually meet with the folks and broker some interesting compromise. So why don't you explain how all that went?
All right. Well, first of all, being an advocate for anything is a very unusual role because for 30 years I've been a reporter, and as reporters you're not really supposed to be advocates for anything. So I have to... First of all, at the North Coast Journal, I had to meet with my editor and tell her that I was going to go off the reservation and work on this project because I'm getting older. We're all, we're saying, why don't we have these things that we always wanted to, be working towards? And she said, fine, they're not going to cover it. The Journal is not covering it as a topic. But I did write five columns last year under my byline from the publisher to kind of keep the public informed as we went along. One thing you forgot out of your report, though, is when the legislature formed, I don't know if you realize the importance of this, but remember that before the railroad was a private entity, these, Southern Pacific and, the private industry. When the NCRA was formed by the state legislature, now it's a public body, but what they didn't do is give it any money. They actually vetoed the funding bill that went along with this, right? Was that Duke Magian?
Yes. Yeah. Not the governor.
The governor vetoed the money. So here we were. We had a new public agency that was trying to figure out how to save our railroad up here, and you get no money. You've got to figure it out yourself. So that was a really essential part in the history. Okay, so I take off my reporter's hat. I put on my advocate hat, and I'm thinking, we have in Humboldt County 75,000 people who live on both sides of this link between Arcata and Eureka, and we have no safe way to get back and forth other than getting in a car, driving, parking, and going back and forth. There is no safe way. I can argue with people afterwards if you want to talk about the old Arcata Road or the fact that you ride on the shoulder of the highway. It, to me, it's just nuts that we have all these people and living on both sides of this trip, about 35,000 each, actually, on either side of it. If you count McKinleyville, because now we have the Hammond Trail Bridge and the fabulous Hammond Trail, as students, if you have not been on the Hammond Trail, I really urge you to just get on a bike and head out on a nice day, and you'll just be amazed. It's a fabulous draw for tourism. It's very well used. It's a huge asset to our community. But we have this link that's missing in between these two population centers. I did a little timeline on here that you probably can't see, but I'm going to roll it up here a little bit, because this will help me. Like Bill said, where did the Bay Trail Advocates come from, and why didn't we just use an existing organization? Because the push for trails in Humboldt County goes back, 15 or 20 years or more. It's in every study or report. I could, give you a 20-year timeline of all the reports that have said we need a really good trail system in Humboldt County. Anybody who's ever traveled to, one of my favorite experiences was taking all the back trails in France one time. They have a fabulous trail system that links every town, every community, every major city, every cow town 5 miles from the next cow town. Wonderful system. They're so far advanced from what we are here on the North Coast. We're making some great progress. We've had some beautiful trail projects now that are really starting to move, but we still have this gap. So the Bay Trail Advocates, some of the groups, Humboldt Trails Council, all the bicycle organizations, all these people have been pushing and working for years towards this separate multimodal, that's a non-motorized traffic on this path somewhere. It has a long history. I found out sometime prior to March of last year, that's just my timeline here, sometime prior to this, that a couple of people I didn't know that well, I knew of them, had been meeting informally, and that's Reese Hughes, here. Reese is a retired administrator from HSU, and the other guy is named Dennis Rael, who almost everyone in here knows of because he founded Los Bagels. Everybody loves Los Bagels. Okay, so Reese and Dennis were getting together saying, why don't we have this trail? Why can't we get this big trail up and going? And I have no idea. I can't even remember in March how we all got together, but the three of us got together, and I thought, okay, taking all my years of reporting, knowing how, and my very favorite thing was government reporting, was political science reporting. My first assignment was covering the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors in 1981. So I know how the system works. I know all the pitfalls. I know all the backroom deals. I know when they come into I know how to count how many people are going to vote, I have all that knowledge. So I thought, if we do that and we create this kind of battle plan, how can we get from here all the way to, it actually happened not in November, but December, but we had to get permission to use this right-of-way for a trail and to get them to say, it's a priority in this section for a trail and in this section for something else I'll tell you about in a minute, because we went backwards. We scheduled all the meetings in here that had to happen with all the public agencies. And before that, we had a two-month period that what we call our quiet period. And during this quiet period in here, we were meeting with individual people that we knew could help us. Or they represented a group, they knew the thinking of this certain environmental group or this, these different groups. I started also meeting with our public agencies. I went in and to talk to Caltrans. I made an appointment and I said, we'd like to see how to get the trail. How is Caltrans going to interact with, Caltrans is not just for cars, remember. They're the Department of Transportation, but they are supposed to plan for bike and pedestrian. Where's their bike and pedestrian element between Arcata and Eureka? It's nowhere. They don't have one right now. So I started meeting with public agencies. We did a lot of stuff before we kind of went public because we didn't want to freak people out like, what are you doing? And why are you doing this? So one of the first groups that we actually met with is the Timber Heritage, it's the association, the THA, Timber Heritage Association. Not officially as a board or anything like that, but Pete Johnson is in the back of the room. Pete is the president of the THA. Pete's wife, Jen, is active in She's particularly interested in their museum project that they're trying to get going out there on the peninsula by the Samoa Cookhouse. We've all been boosters over the years of, you know, like tourist train, the idea of having some kind of a tourist train in Humboldt County. Been excited about that, and we thought maybe that could be part of our project. But we knew we couldn't do it if we came in heavy-handed and say, hey, railroad, we want, you know, we want to use your railroad for our trail. It has to be a project that is much more broader based than that. And so the Timber Heritage people, the ones that we did work with, also a guy named Don Banducci, who eventually joined our Bay Trail Advocates because he was such an enthusiastic supporter. He was a Timber Heritage guy, too, and he was a former board member, I think, of the THA. Anyway, we literally sat on a conference table with our yellow pads, and we said, what do you want? Everything that you want. Well, the Timber Heritage Association people, they're passionate about the museum. They want the rights, a long-term lease on their land out there behind the Samoa cookhouse. They want to be open to the public. They want the public to be able to come and see all the cool stuff that they have. They have so much stuff, it'll just blow your mind if you've never been out there. Right now you can't because it's not exactly open to the public, but they have all these old engines and various stages of restoration. It's all these historical buildings that are pretty far along, new roofs on them. They gave me a private tour, and some of our Bay Trail Advocate people, we got to tour out there. So they had their list. They want a tourist train. They want this. They want that. And I said, okay, this is what we want. We want the Bay Trail between Arcata and Eureka, off the highway, not on the highway, you know. And we have this public right-of-way that has been now quiet, no trains running on it for 15 years, and how can we get this? So we came up with this thing. We have a website. It's called baytrailplan.org. But we came up with a plan, and it has on there, and this was in March or April of last year that we came up with this, and our main asks, as Bill says, we call it an ask, what do you want? We wanted to be able to use that right-of-way and have the NCRA. Can we use NCRA now that we all know what it is? It's the public agency that owns the right-of-way. It's their right-of-way. Even though it's public, they're the ones that have the say of what goes on there. We wanted to be able to use it. We wanted to have the trail as a priority because we feel like we can get the money that we're going to need to build this trail in a shorter, reasonable period of time. Now, what that is might be 3 years, might be 5 years. I don't know what it is. But it's not on the same time frame as the return of rail. If rail returns, we don't know when that's going to happen. We have no dates because there's no plans on the table that says freight rail service, passenger service is going to return on such and such a date. So I want to be clear about one thing. What the Bay Trail advocates have always said is, in terms of priority, bike and pedestrian from Arcata to Eureka. And the tracks are really in not as bad shape. We do have tracks existing out there from Arcata to Samoa. So that could be a tourist train run, and that was our idea. That was our plan. Let's do what we can do and raise money and help each other and do that. So we had some support. But then, of course, the word rail banking was introduced, and it upset a lot of people, and we got off track for a while. And after a while, it just disappeared from my vocabulary. I stopped saying rail banking because it upset so many people. So, but what we had to do in order to, the NCRA only meets in Humboldt County 3 times a year. So they met in March. We were already planning. We were already sitting there in the audience taking notes and figuring out all the people we had to talk to. We knew they met again in July, and then we knew they met again in November. So we were shooting for November. We were going to approach them in July and say, we want you to form a committee. We want you to get going and look at rail banking if that doesn't work, whatever else. But how can we get our trail? So backing up from that, I'll tell you, this was a horrific period in our life, the 2 months before that, because in order to go to the NCRA, we had to have Humboldt County support. And so that meant all the private or the non-government people, all the environmental groups, the bicycle people, the timber heritage people, the anybody who would have a stake in this thing. We wanted to get to them first and explain what we were trying to do. And then we had to go to the Arcata City Council. Let's face it, was a slam dunk. They were already on record in favor of the trail, in favor of rail banking. They're already pretty far along on their trail planning, and Arcata should really be commended for it. But we had to go to the Eureka Council, a lot tougher there. We had to go to the Humboldt County Association of Governments, which is the agency that's involved in a lot of transportation planning and how money gets allocated everywhere. So this is, and they meet once a month. So we had a lot of government agency things. We were really hot footing it here. But I swear, I counted up one time, I think we probably went to, we had maybe 150 contacts, either with people, with going to meetings, individual, one-on-one, or with groups or whatever, leading up to this. Actually, in June, the last hurdle, the biggest hurdle of all, was the Board of Supervisors. And that's the one, the painful one that we all remember so well that had no potty break for five and a half hours, I think.
Oh, no, that was only 2.5.
Oh, that was 2.5?
That was the NCRA meeting that was 6.5.
Bill remembers.
Six and a half.
Sarah, Bill remembers.
Your bladder remembers.
So, you know, I think this process, so then, but we're still only halfway. So they're going and they agreed to appoint a committee, a subcommittee of the NCRA to study something. But it really wasn't terribly clear. And that's when Bill really took off and just, you know, it's like handing him the football. And he just ran with it. From here on, he said, okay, if we're shooting for November to get a yes vote out of this very, I have to say, conservative, you know, pro-railroad, guys that, you know, maybe don't want to listen to us about trails and bikes and all that kind of stuff. So we had a lot of work to do from July to November 2. Bill stepped in and he said he scheduled these three meetings. They were very well attended. Everybody was there.
Actually, Cliff Clendenin did all this.
Yes, that's
Cliff
true.
Clendenin was the guy who worked with the city of Eureka and others. Cliff did the heavy lifting on the getting the buy-in from.
But in the I mean, who are the poli-sci students in the group? We've got some. What happened in here, though? Cliff lost his election right here, which was not good news for us. But he was still on the board all the way through, and he just kept plugging away. He kept, you know, he thought this was something that needed to happen, and he did. Okay, so then Bill told you about the public meetings we had, and the final form, I have to say, it doesn't contain the word rail banking, but the final findings and recommendations out of the NCRA absolutely will allow the trail to go forward, but we are going to be doing it in conjunction with rail projects. For instance, Arcata to Eureka is going to go forward, but the planning is going to be we have to have wide enough room for both a rail and a trail. That has to happen. There's some other requirements when you get into talking about the environmental work. We have to do the environmental planning up front. We can't wait till the rail comes back someday and do the environmental planning. We have to do that up front. But the focus and the priority is the trail, and that's what we're our next phase, which is to raise the money and make this thing happen. And I'm sure. Sorry, Pete's not on the board, or maybe you guys could address it, but the Timber Heritage, they've got their list, too. They're going to be working on clearing those tracks and getting their tourist train up and running, because I think it'll be a huge asset to Humboldt County to have that tourist train running and to have that museum open. And we'll do what we can to help them.
Thank you, Judy.
Judy, you dropped one tiny stitch, and that is the County of Humboldt Public Works Department has identified $50,000, and this week going with a contractor to begin to particularize how to accomplish this trail within the rail corridor that was...
And the planning for the rail return. I mean, for WIP and environmental work, too, has to go right along hand-in-hand with the planning for the trail.
But they're doing preliminary design work on the trail, number one, and number two, some of the environmental compliance stuff, which can be very costly and take time. So the report in December was not the end of the story. The story continues, and it's good news.
Yes. And also, I don't know if I told you, but I saw the letter the other day from Caltrans is also pledging $1 million towards construction of this trail. So we've got grant money possibilities for the design and environmental work and some ideas of how to fund that part. But when it gets actually to the actual building and building of the trail, Caltrans is going to chip in.
Now, $1 million sounds like a lot of money.
It's and not enough.
It is to any of us. But for a project like this, it's a drop in the bucket. A study was done a number of years ago on a feasibility study for this Bay Trail. Two different methodologies were looked at. One was rail banking and just putting a trail on top of where the tracks are, and the other was a rail with trail option. The difference in price was substantial. It was about $5 million for just a trail where the rail is now. To do it both, it was closer to about $35 million.
And in fact, the latest numbers on there are something closer to $44 million. It's not 32.
With inflation.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
That was from Eureka.
44. That's right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Let's hear from the guys.
Okay.
Right. So, okay. Anyway, the other component of this is trains. A lot of us here in Humboldt County are very environmentally active, and we all know that a train is a much more environmentally sound way of moving products across the country. So why is there a problem with moving products from Humboldt County to the Bay Area? And the short answer is, and Bill touched on it a little bit, is the Eel River Canyon. It's a huge impediment, and one of you guys should touch on that, about what's why we can't move forward like right this moment with a train. Bill, you want to take it, or?
Well, Dan was there.
Dan, you were there.
Dan was there.
Well, I think of all the various positions I've held in my 30-some-odd years of elected or appointed office, rail has been a part of it. In great part because the economy. But one addition to what Bill said about this area being an exporter of products, we were also a significant importer. Mm-hmm. Virtually all the appliances, furniture, heavy equipment, all came, and a lot of food products came in by rail when the train was up and operating. Why not the Eel River Canyon? The Eel River Canyon represents some geologic problems, environmental problems, and may never be rebuilt. At the same time, it's going to be important to put the rail bed and its structures to bed, and that's going to take millions of dollars to accomplish as well. Anyway, talking about what we're involved with today. The North Coast Railroad Authority had the good sense to again hire a private operator to operate the railroad. And that private operator believes through some financial studies that a short line around Humboldt Bay and connecting down as far south as South Fork, where there are no geologic problems, would be economically feasible. And, of course, the reconstruction of the railroad would have to follow the same lines that, that happened before in the southern end with public dollars. It would not be economically feasible to rebuild strictly with private dollars. A couple of things. On the term rail banking has been thrown around and discarded, and probably rightfully so, in that, among other things, it's my strong belief as one of the authors of the legislation that created the North Coast Railroad Authority that the NCRA would not have the legal right to rail bank the main line of the railroad. But beyond that, one of the problems that we've had in the past coming to any sort of agreement has been that it's been an either-or. It's my way or nothing. And that changed. That changed this year with an acknowledgement that the various sides of this this issue have rights and responsibilities, and we're able to come together on those rights and responsibilities. Now, I've been off and on for roughly 20 years a board member of the Timber Heritage Association. We are strong supporters of recognizing our history, providing a museum for that history, but also providing for a tourist railroad. The only viable tourist railroad is one that operates between Samoa, where our shops are located, and Eureka. Simply terminating in Arcata doesn't work out financially or realistically for a tourist railroad. So one of the things that the Timber Heritage Association's held on to was this ability to eventually create a tourist railroad. We have the rail cars, beautifully restored rail cars that need a paint job, but other than that, they're ready to go. We have a locomotive that's fully restored. It's mechanically functional. It needs a paint job, but it's ready to go. All we need are the rails. The rails belong to the North Coast Railroad Authority. With their help and support and working with their private operator, the NWP company, hopefully those rails will be restored. And one of our jobs is as an advocate for the money to restore those rails. And I want to, on the side, every chance I get, I travel by rail. I've traveled cross country by rail. I've traveled to Canada by rail. Again, this year, our vacation is going to be a travel by rail. I happen to believe in rail passenger. It's a wonderful way to travel. And I've always believed that one of the best things that could happen here in Humboldt County would be a self-propelled rail car to augment the bus system to run between College of the Redwoods and Arcata, or even Fortuna to Arcata, that could transport passengers on a regular scheduled basis. You know, three or four of those cars could make a big difference in taking cars off of the highway and providing an alternative transportation system. Anyway, that's an aside. City of Arcata has moved forward. City of Arcata has moved forward with planning for a trail with rail, not either or. They've gone through the process. They've developed the environmental impact report all the way to breakup, and which is the limits of their political jurisdiction. Now, if Eureka could come forward and do the same thing within the limits of their jurisdiction, it would get us as far as what's now called, what, California Redwood? The old Arcata Redwood plant. That still leaves a gap. Part of the problem with that gap is that it's owned privately. It's not owned by the NCRA. The NCRA has an easement over that property, but that property is privately owned. And so to modify the easement is going to take negotiations with the private property owner to accomplish it. It's also going to take a political entity that's willing to be in the forefront of saying, okay, let's develop that property, widen the rail prism enough for rail and trail, and to accomplish it. That also gets us into one other aspect, and that's the permit process, the permit and the environmental condition. Now, back when I was city manager in Arcata, one of the things we did was we were breaching the dike and creating an addition to the Arcata Marsh and Wildlife Refuge. Beautiful addition, something that everybody should love. Well, everybody except all the permitting agencies. It only took us 5 years to take marginal pasture land back to what it was originally, and that's a marsh. 5 years of permits with the Department of Fish and Game, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Environmental Protection Agency, you know, the both state and federal permit process. And to create a wider rail prism is going to take something similar. It's going to take, because you're involved with wetlands, you're involved with the Corps of Engineers, you're involved with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, you're involved with California Fish and Game, and all of them are going to require permits to do anything. And City of Arcata knows that only too well, even from the environmental documents that we prepared on the trail system from Arcata to Breakup. So it's not an easy process. It's not a given. And it's going to take time. It's going to take patience and a lot of money. At the meantime, I believe that both the Timber Heritage Association and the Northwest Railroad Authority will be able to restore rail, at least around the bay, and that that rail will be economically feasible and productive.
Thank you, Dan.
Who am I and why am I here? Some famous person said that in a presidential campaign, yeah. I think. And it wasn't Bill Clinton. I want to offer a little different perspective on this. And in order to do that, I think I need to go back a little bit. I was originally on the Arcata City Planning Commission. In fact, before that, I was a member of the Forestry Club as a student here, and we wanted to put a nature trail, which is now known as Trail 1 in the City of Arcata Community Forest. It took 2 years to get the City Council to listen to us, then it took 18 months to build it, after they finally decided that that might be a good idea. That was my first introduction into local politics and the timing of local politics. When I was on the City Council, and Dan was there, he knows this better than I, we worked on the Arcata Marsh and Wildlife Sanctuary. The shorthand of that I like to tell people is it took us 18 months to prove the science. It took 12 years to get permission to do it. I want to be the one who asks questions about this evening, both politically and otherwise. And so I want to start out this way. I was at an Arcata Chamber of Commerce annual dinner meeting on Saturday night. About halfway through this meeting, I seriously had this thought, this is local government. This is really local government. It doesn't have any official title. It's a nonprofit corporation. It is the Arcata Chamber of Commerce. Its members are business people. What were they talking about? One group got up and won an award for the greenest project. Larry's sitting out here. That's the kind of stuff they're talking about. They're thinking ahead. No government oversight, none of this stuff. These are private business people, for or profit or nonprofit, doing this very interesting stuff. Two other businesses, completely unrelated, got up and told the story of how one thought, you know, the kind of business we're in could benefit that business over there. We should get together and talk. local government at its best, no government involved, the community getting together and making some decisions. So let's talk about the rail to trail and let's ask some questions. Why would I support it? Well, I like trains. Let's start with that. I've got a 2.5-year-old grandson. I like trains. And I like traveling in them. I like going to Europe and being able to go in almost every little town you can imagine. Have you been to Cinque Terre on the train in Italy? If you haven't, you've missed out. If you need to know how to spell it later, let me know. Great experience. You can't believe you can take the major rail line and find this spot. And we think Arcata and Eureka are remote. No, we're not remote. We have a historical part. Humboldt County is known to have the first registered railroad in the state of California. We had trains running all through this country up here. If you're a forestry student in the mid-60s and you're assigned to go count trees or some such thing, I don't remember what I did back then, but so we're out in the woods, I don't know, I think we're in freshwater. And we stumbled over an old trestle, and somebody said, gee, there's something shiny kind of down there that doesn't look like plant material. So we made our way down. There was an old locomotive laying on its side. They were all over the place up here. It's really interesting. We have a very interesting history. So keeping that sense of history leads me to why I kind of like the idea of a tourist railroad. Besides, I think they can make some money. There are a lot of crazy train people out there. Commerce. Just looking at it from an environmental standpoint, it's the most effective way to move people and goods in terms of cost per dollar. I don't know about you, but I walked up by the gas station near my house at G Street and 14th, and we're looking at $5 a gallon again, or getting very close to that. Well, what are we going to be doing at $10 a gallon? I'll bet you'll be looking a lot more seriously at bikeways, at walkways, and at light rail. And we see light rail going in all over the place. But there's a public sector involved with this, too. The movement of people, we see that with Humboldt Transit Authority. Dan referred to this, and I want to add a little something to that. But how many of you know that all of our solid waste is transported out of this county? We're doing it on trucks. Really? We're doing it on trucks? About the least efficient way we could be doing it, but we have to do it because the environmental laws tells us there's not a single place in Humboldt County to put a landfill. So we're moving it 100, 200, 300, 500 miles away. And that's not going to stop anytime soon. A railroad would be a lot more efficient way to do that than on trucks. Let me go through the, Dan mentioned it, Arcata to CR. But think about this for a minute. We get as close as the Sunset area to Humboldt State. We get 4 blocks from the plaza. We go through the Arcata Marsh and Wildlife Sanctuary, one of the most beautiful places, I think, in the North Coast, and it's getting better all the time. We go around the bay. We go right through Old Town Eureka. We go right by the mall. We go right to this new trail at Elk River that you can get off and take your bike. We go right to the front door of College of the Redwoods, and we continue on to Fortuna. We hit the major population areas, and we're not running a self-contained car between those things. Better yet, though, have you all heard of the Schatz Laboratory that we have up here? They're working on what? Fuel cells. There's solar energy. We're doing a lot more with batteries and so on. Don't talk to Boeing right now. They've got a few bugs to work out. What about a pilot program so that we're not using diesel or gasoline, but instead we're thinking ahead and using fuel cell technology? See if we can make that work. I think if we could, we could get a heck of a pilot program to start showing what I call Humboldt Light Rail. It's a very different thing than what they call light rail in the big cities that we see, which looks heavy to me. Okay, I know the track is different, but big deal. Okay, enough about that. The trails, This is interesting. When I was on the city council 16 years worth, somebody said, I think it was Judy, every major document that came out supported trails. I'm a big advocate. I believe in them. I think if we're actually to put a trail between here and Eureka, I know it will take a lot for me to get on a bike, consider my age, for me to get on a bike on a windy day and go where that rail line is. I drove past it the other day, and it was high tide. It was blowing wind, beginning of our springtime winds, and there were waves and water going over the rails. I'm going to take my 2.5-year-old grandson on that trail on a bike. I'm not going to take me on that trail on a bike. So we have to be concerned about many aspects of what's comfortable. Now, I have friends who own Life Cycle. They already go on all these trails. I can't compete with those people. There will be plenty that will use it. It won't be me, though, and I'd like to have something that would incite me to go on those trails. So that's what I'd be looking for. But now let's look really into the future. We're talking about realistic, I think it's been proven enough that we have climate change going on. We're going to have 6 inches of sea level rise, a foot, 3 feet. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'd sure hate to put $44 million into something and have it underwater in 10 years. So where should that trail be if we want to do it, if we're going to invest in the long term? I don't necessarily have the answer to that, but prior to, I believe, about 1948, 1952 in that area, before the 101 corridor is where it is now, that was all wetland. We couldn't build roads on that stuff until we got the technology to do it, and we cheated ourselves because we destroyed wetlands when we did it. The old Arcata Road used to be the stagecoach road. It was there for a long time. Should we be thinking moving it to the toe? That's a good question, I think. And I think it's one before we start expending a great deal of money only to have it facing sea level rise. We ought to at least consider. Let's see. Anything else I wanted to say?
So would you be proposing all those businesses that are on 101 between Eureka and Arcata, moving them also?
Let me put it this way. We have pretty much the best kind of business to have on 101, car sales. How many of us in this room, you all have driver's license? We get those cars out real fast. Yeah, I think those are dicey businesses on 101. I remember one of the very first things I was faced with on the Arcata City Council was a very serious proposal to do a hotel complex at the corner of... help me out here.
It was Bayside Cutoff.
Bayside Cutoff. Highway 101. They were proposing filling it a little bit and building a hotel, I don't know.
And a mobile home park.
And, you know, when we said no, we were not popular. Let's put it that way. It was not a popular
idea. We got yelled at.
We did get yelled at. On the other hand, I'm a little disconcerted to see something I see going on right now. In the Valley West area, the main road that runs through Gentoli Lane that goes from the freeway east and hits 101, that was supposed to be a levee. We built it as a levee to keep the Mad River out of the Valley West development area. Now I see we're putting all kinds of development in there. Gives me a little cause for concern, but I think those long-term questions need to be seriously considered before we move on. And what we have, that kind of itinerary from Humboldt State to College of the Redwood, and that commercial corridor taking passengers with no emission kind of, I know, I'm dreaming, but how do you get from here to there without dreaming? I don't think you do it. You got to dream about these things. We got the technology going on right here. That's my say.
So one of the things that you mentioned was the prism that goes between Eureka and Arcata that the railroad sits on. It was not really meant for it, but it has kind of become an ad hoc levee for,
Do they know what a prism is?
You don't. Okay, the prism is the built-up berm, if you will, that the tracks ride on. And that has become, you know, sort of a levee for, to keep the water off 101. In 2005, when we had that major microburst storm, that was topped over, and 101 was flooded. That was a concern, and you know, one thing Sam brought up, you know, this kind of thing will become more and more prevalent. Now, talking about moving the entire freeway and all the businesses and moving all the tracks and all that stuff to the other part of the bay and having that reclaimed, that's a big process, and absolutely, that's probably a dream. Yeah. However, you know, rebuilding that prism is something that was talked about by Caltrans,
absolutely,
by North Coast Railroad Authority.
Many, yep, many times.
Right.
Yeah.
And the problem is North Coast Railroad Authority, as you all mentioned, broke. No money. So this partnership that has been brought together is a potential to get both, to be able to rebuild this prism, raise it higher than it was so it can help hold off. Because right now, if you're driving between Eureka and Arcata, and you look at those tracks, you can see under them.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's holes under.
There's holes, yeah, this big.
Yeah. Well, that's a collapsed culvert.
Right.
That's,
yeah,
not a washout.
Right. But that happened when it was topped over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I address that? Because there was a couple things. The sea level rise thing, Sam, did come up. I mean, we could talk later, but it came up many times at many of these meetings because a lot of the HCOG, the Humboldt County Association of Government, has a subcommittee called the TAC Committee. And this TAC Committee is all the engineering nerds from around the county, and they all get together once a month and talk about that. They are very, very excited about the fact that this provides us with an opportunity to do something about that breaching that happened in 2005. And it also, we would have to replace those culverts even to build the trail. We can't,
absolutely,
we can't do that. And
yep,
so right now, every single one of those culverts is failing, every one of them. And they would all have to be replaced when the trail goes in, when we do this type of work. And I got a note from the county that because I wanted to make sure. I said, what does this mean exactly? How are we going to work together with... So the railroad benefits from all this, and so Caltrans benefits because, you know, we can't call it a levee because it's not really a levee,
no,
but it is. That's it does protect 101, and Caltrans is getting ready to put in $34 million worth of work on their safety corridor, and they want it protected, and they are building it for sea level rise, and when they do a section, they'll be doing it with sea level rise in mind. To build it up, but they also need that. We can't call it a levee. They need that too. So this is a real. This is why a lot of these agencies started to really get excited and think about the possibilities of how we can all chip in and how if this person does this and the city of Eureka does this and you know it's a real opportunity for cooperation by at least six agencies.
Right.
To do this.
Well, that's the nice thing is there's so many different agencies that can be involved in this. Caltrans,
right,
can be part of it. You know, there's so many different, you know, the cities, the counties can all be involved in this whole thing, and they need to be.
It's, yeah.
You know, we're dealing with so many, as you mentioned, so many different entities just along that one little corridor.
The other thing that I want to correct one thing, and
yes,
Reese was waving at me, the $44 million was the... All the $44 million estimate was all the way around to Samoa, and it was building, you know, so what we're really looking at is, since Arcata has been working so diligently,
right,
and so successfully between here and Breakut, we're really talking about Breakut to Eureka. And that price tag was somewhere around $18 million,
right,
but there's a way that we can cut that way down if we are allowed certain exceptions to the trail policy of the NCRA.
Right.
They
and
fully understand that.
And, Bill, you could probably talk to that because that's kind of a thing that's happening right now that's being discussed is some limited exceptions to the rail with trail where there'd be some sharing involved in,
right,
certain places.
Right. That was for... Trail advocates, one of the more significant outcomes of last year's public meetings and deliberations, the NCRA policy on trails is very, very clear that trails to be built within the NCRA rail corridor will provide equally for rail service. So you have to use the example that Dan touched on briefly down in front of California Redwood, where the right-of-way is very narrow. We would actually have to put in sheet pilings and backfill and build it up like that. Very pricey. But the compromise that was reached late last year was that the trail could be developed with some deviation from the NCRA trail policy. Deviations to be reviewed, considered by NCRA. Now, I'll give you an example of one. That's the Eureka Slough Bridge. The engineer's treatment of that was basically to bolt a side, an outrigger trail onto that bridge. Fairly pricey. But I think that NCRA might well be open to, okay, let's put pavement on the bridge deck itself until John Williams and his Northwest Pacific Railroad are ready to roll some trains on it, and then we'll build the outrigger. In the meantime, we could get folks biking and hiking between the two metropolitan areas with just minor deviation from NCRA policy, and that's I think in the cards.
And the nice thing about that compromise is that it brings the ticket price way down.
Yeah.
And it makes it much more realistic. Now, right now, the Hammond Trail was mentioned as our real trail that we have. It's about 5 miles, and it mostly goes through McKinleyville. If you've never been on it, you should. It's really amazing. But it's kind of a trail to nowhere. Okay, it goes as far as Clam Beach, and starts at the Mad River Bridge, and with the fact that that's really not a destination trail, where you really can't go from one place to the other to commute, the numbers of people using it right now are astounding. It's used tremendously, purely for recreation. The numbers of people who would be using a trail between Eureka and Arcata for commuting purposes would be astronomical. There are already a lot of people who are doing it, braving the traffic along 101. That is legal, thanks to folks like Rick Knapp, who was with Caltrans at the time and changed the rules where that was actually possible, since that really is the only viable way to get between the two cities. Old Arcata Road was mentioned. Anyone who's actually biked it knows that there's no shoulder. It's actually a very dangerous road to bike on. The freeway is actually a much safer one since you've got a much wider shoulder and it's a straight shot. Still, you are dealing with traffic. Even though it has slowed down to 50 now, which has helped tremendously, you're still dealing with biking along a highway with a major highway. It's the 101. So this would be a huge plus for the biking community. And with this compromise, where the two sides that were so polar opposite are talking about what can we do to benefit each other, I think as long as we stay on that tack, I think we're really going to...
So, Clint, I'm wondering if you could give an opportunity for people to ask questions.
Oh, yes.
You've got this great panel with all of this expertise.
Yeah.
And we're talking to each other.
Yeah.
There.
I have a slightly complicated question.
Well, we'll give you a complicated answer.
From what I understand from listening to the news and everything, the North Coast Rail Authority comprises what are the four counties that goes from basically Sonoma up to here.
But Marin
up. But you essentially have two almost independent geographical areas. You have the southern end, which is effectively running a railroad and doesn't need the northern end. And then you have the northern end, we're talking about like a local train. But essentially everyone, as I understand, has sort of given up on the fixing the Eel River Canyon. So the question that I have is, it doesn't make sense to break up the authority in such a way as to have a north authority and a south authority. And if so, could we abandon the Eel River Canyon and just make it a trail, in which case it may not need to be decommissioned, and then work on this project in the north, and then we could raise bonds or what have you for public funding without having to get the whole southern end involved in getting involved in public funding for the north side.
Let me take a shot at that, if I may. You raise a good point, and Dan has basically reinforced it with his take on the canyon as being a real tough nut to crack. One thing that I want you to carry away from this discussion this evening is that the North Coast Railroad Authority, in entering into the operating agreement that Dan mentioned in 2006 with seasoned railroad consultant developer John Williams and his then newly minted Northwest Pacific Railroad Company, we have created a public-private partnership. Okay? We are in a partnership with John Williams. And in entering into that agreement in 2006, we made clear that Mr. Williams has an option to operate on the three geographic segments of the line. The southern end, also known as the Russian River Division, the canyon section, and the Humboldt County north end, okay? One of the things that was at play during these negotiations last year is that North Coast Railroad Authority is not a free agent to simply do with the assets as it will because of its partnership agreement with Mr. Williams. We're in a partnership. And partnerships can be tough if you screw with them, if you don't take them seriously. I've been in a marriage for 55 years, and I was once in a business partnership, and 55 years of marriage is a walk in a park compared to a business partnership that's gotten in trouble. And so the NCRA is obliged through the terms of its 2006 operating agreement, as it's now written, to support Mr. Williams. And Mr. Williams came up and was the principal presenter at the committee meeting we had in Eureka City Hall in late October. And maybe it was Dan that said he's got a plan, but Mr. Williams didn't indicate he had a plan. He indicated, here's how you would develop a business plan. Here are the steps you would go through if ever you were to develop a plan for resurrecting rail service on the Humboldt County end, but he didn't advance a plan at that time. He indicated generally the kind of products that a train that's going around the bay to the harbor facilities at Samoa and Fairhaven might be carrying, but he didn't commit to anything in our lifetimes.
In fact, he had a...
So your question is a very interesting question.
He actually said at one of the public meetings that he did not have a plan. He said he was open for ideas. He said he's got some ideas, but there is no plan on the table, and that's one of the reason for our growing frustration of, well, then if there's no plan, then can we get going on the trail?
Have we got some more questions? And we'll try and keep our answers short.
Yes.
East West.
Yep. There's a difference going on here, scale, I'd say magnitude, 1 to 100.
trails will give us some nice things to have in our community. I'm totally for it. I think trails are wonderful. My wife's been hiking trails in England for a bunch of weeks this summer. Absolutely incredible. It's a great thing to do. But it's not going to improve the economy of this county, which we desperately need. And the benefits from having an east-west rail and activating some parts of our rail system here to supply that is what's important to the younger people in this room and their children.
So explain what an east-west rail would look like.
The idea being talked about now is that east-west rail would connect Humboldt Bay Harbor, port that goes to the second biggest economy in the entire world, in China, all the Asian markets, with the Union Pacific Rail network that goes to the rest of the United States around Red Bluff River. So it's 130 miles. Instead of going across this terrible geology of north-south, which you can see on a topo map, it's just lines squeezed together because it's so bad off. You cross over it. You just go straight there. We're not going to pay for the building of the railroad, nor are we going to be paying for the maintenance of it, because it'll be a land bridge. It'll hook up markets in Asia with cars, grain, and things that they want from the Midwest and from the rest of the United States there, and they want to ship things in. We're a day closer than any other port in California. Oregon and Washington are getting a little closer still. As far as California goes, it's the closest port. If we don't have that kind of economic engine for Humboldt County in the future, we are going to suffer very badly. Any of you that were here in the 1970s, you know, very, very poor then. The marijuana economy started propping up stuff in the 1980s. A lot of people that I view as Mill Grove people in Humboldt County, they came right after 1980 when people were buying new cars and people were eating out in the restaurants and things like that. In the 1970s, that was not happening. We're going back to that. We have seen Jennifer Butler's presentation. It's incredible. It's really very right on and very true. We're going to lose that $1 billion a year thing that's going on here as marijuana is legalized as it should be. And it moves elsewhere. But Humboldt County is going to go back to being very, very...
Well, let's hear from the train experts.
The rail,
right. I think it's a great question, though. And I think we should ask our rail experts, you know, what about an east-west line?
We support the feasibility study. Well,
I mean, there is an enormous elevation change.
All I can say is that we are committed to pursuing the resurrection of rail, that the NCRA is committed to pursuing the resurrection of rail service on the system that the legislature handed to us. That's all I can say at this point.
Okay.
Let me add, in both to Larry's question and Jan's comment, yes, the legislative intent is clear. The legislature intended for rail service to be restored throughout the system. If a private entrepreneur was able to tie into the Humboldt Bay region, then it does become more economically feasible to restore rail from here to South Fork. But that rail would remain, that portion of the rail would remain under the ownership of the NCRA and be the NCRA's responsibility. Now, whether or not the Eel River Canyon portion could be realistically abandoned would, number one, require an act of the legislature to authorize it. It could not be a decision made solely by the NCRA because the legislature created the NCRA, including all the right-of-way. The state paid for the purchase of all the right-of-way. So the state holds responsibility of ultimate ownership should the NCRA fold or decide to abandon. Again, it would have to be the state that comes in and says, okay, if we abandon that section, who's going to be responsible for cleaning up, removing all the rail, taking care of the tunnels, removing the bridges, which would have to be done? So that again would be a responsibility that would have to be weighed in the entire question. But the NCRA alone does not have that authority.
I'd just like to add that any abandonment, you talk about just leaving the Eel River out of it, I just want to make sure people understand it's expensive to quit an area. All the permits, you still have to go through all that stuff. You basically have to undo what we did 100 years ago and fix stuff as you go so it survives intact. And it's an interesting and difficult process. So it's just saying it's not cheap. It's expensive to do that. Another investment.
Well, it's be similar to what Redwood National Park had to do with all the logging roads, et cetera, that existed within Redwood National Park, is either rehabilitate them or remove them. And that's for Redwood National Park, has been an ongoing and very expensive process. You can't just walk away.
Any more questions? Yes.
I wanted to talk about sort of like the overall regional network that people are kind of, you know, trying to work towards, where we have the Annie and Mary Trail is still moving along slowly. The Eureka Waterfront Project is coming along really well right now. And Arcata is doing their rail trail projects. So there's kind of like this hot spot of the 101 corridor and the historic train, you know, to Eureka and Samoa. So do you feel like that we really at this point can work together to make those hot spots like really happen?
Well, that's what's been happening.
You know,
let me give you a quick report on the status of the Annie and Mary and maybe do a setup on that. And quite frankly, the Annie and Mary project is one of the reasons that I sought appointment to the NCRA board, because I had been, as a Blue Laker, I had been involved with the Friends of the Annie and Mary, and it seemed like it was moving at a glacial pace, and I thought, gosh, I wonder if I could get around on the board and figure out how to put some steam on that, you know. And it's worked to some extent, because I began to rattle people when I got onto the NCRA board, and now we have a three-step project that's in play as we speak. It was supposed to have been wrapped by the end of last year, but some things, including Ms. Hodgson's initiative, came along to slow it down. But what's important to know about the Annie and Mary, by the way, when Dan was manager of the NCRA, the NCRA resolved its interest in, I think, rail banking. I think he used the term rail banking, or, you know, back in those days, that was before it became a third rail. And then most recently, the NCRA board has re-upped its interest in the Annie and Mary trackage, corridor, between the edge of Arcata and Blue Lake, becoming a trail. The latest resolution was quite explicit and quite supportive of Humboldt County folks taking over the property and doing something. In order to get there, we've had to do things like look at the condition of the Glendale Trestle, and that was a summer of 2012. County Public Works contract, that work's been completed. And then the Tuffy was going through all of the historic ownership records. As Dan said, there's places like even down here on the Bayfront where it's unclear that NCRA has much of a hold on the corridor itself. And that work of going through the county records and every scrap of information that could be found, and putting it all on a geographic information system, was just completed. The contractor was Streamline Planning from Arcata, and that was just completed really about 3 weeks ago. And that's been shipped off to a legal specialist to look at, to see what we have to do next. So after, gosh, it's been 14 years we've been talking about this, or 15 years, thanks to the County Public Works Department, I think they're the champions in this whole story, they have put some steam on it. I had to
knock a couple of heads, but they've been delivering, and I'm delighted about that. So the Annie and Mary got kind of upstaged by the Bay Carter Trail Initiative, but a lot of good came out of that effort, and the Annie and Mary is alive and well, even though it's chugging along pretty slow. But people that I've been working with, like County Public Works Director Tom Mattson and his deputy Hank Seaman, are very clear on the concept that we're putting together a regional system of trails. And God, it can't come too soon. I mean, it's great that people can ride on the edge of the freeway, I guess. I rode before we moved up here 7 years ago, and we settled out in Blue Lake, and I looked at the options. West End Road, the edge of 299, forget it. My bike is still hanging on the peg in the garage. And, of course, we've had a fatality on each highway
several
years since. Small political note. I just want to get it in. When HCOG and others came up on the decision about putting all of Humboldt County's money into the safety corridor upgrade, and there seemed to be such a lot of folks saying, wait a minute, there's a lot of other things that could be done with that money. My friends in the transportation policy business said they'll go with it, because any politician that votes against improving safety on a highway is going to get run out of office as soon as somebody gets killed, okay? Well, that's the way it works if you're in a car on a highway, apparently. And yet it doesn't work if you're on a bike. You can get killed and nobody but your widow remembers. Okay?
Yeah. I'm sure Cliff can attest to from driving on 101.
Oh, sure. I mean, the Annie and Mary trail, you know, were that in place, you know, Greg Jennings would still be alive.
Yeah.
he was a seasoned cyclist who commuted between Arcata and Blue Lake and was on a part of 299 that was had a very wide shoulder, maybe an 8 to 10 foot wide shoulder and a straight route, and still a motorist just wasn't paying attention, veered off the road and just hit him square on and killed him. And 12 witnesses said that it almost looked like it was deliberate, but when it went to court, he essentially wound up with a slap on the wrist.
Well, I know as someone who lives on Warren Creek Road, which is where the Annie and Mary goes, we have a saying of the mothers on our road that our children will drive cars on the road before we'll allow them to ride their bikes on the road. it's another road that has virtually no shoulder whatsoever and a lot of blind curves, so... Mm-hmm. Yay, Annie and Mary Trail. I want to thank all of our panelists for coming tonight, and thank all of you for being here to learn about this important topic. We still have some food left over, so be sure you get something on your way out. And perhaps if the panel is willing to answer any questions from people who are too shy to bring it up, you can have a little bit of an opportunity afterwards. Thanks again.
Thanks, Kevin.